Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
I'm the youth pastor here. It is great to be with you this morning. I learned a valuable lesson this morning at 8 o'clock. I was sharing my opening example. It was about the fact that in my previous house I had a garden. In my new house I live in the city, so no garden for me. Well, there's a concrete block out the back. But in this garden I had a lemon tree, and it looked like it was doing fine. It was green, fruit came off it occasionally. Maybe I hadn't seen fruit for a while, but you know, it's not like I went into the garden that much. And then I was having lunch at someone from churches, and I don't know how it came up in conversation, but we were talking about the lemon tree, and she mentioned that it had gall wasp, and that she'd have to cut it back. And I thought, your tree looks a lot like mine. I'd better go and have a look at mine. And sure enough, my lemon tree had gall wasp, and I thought, well, here you go, I better chop off all the branches. It's not producing fruit. I've got to cut off the branches. And I discover you don't actually need to cut off the branches this morning. So here's a lesson for everyone. If you just put a slice in the where the gall wasp is with a Stanley knife, that will expose it and that will kill the larvae. So gall wasp basically just puts a larvae in the tree, wrecks it, and it stops it from doing its job, which is producing good lemons. And the same way that a lemon tree is expected to bear fruit and not wasps, we're expected to produce fruit. Christians are meant to produce fruit. The followers of Jesus are meant to produce fruit. Look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So we're meant to bear fruit. There's an expectation that as Jesus' followers, we will bear fruit. And in some ways, this is actually quite a heavy expectation. The God of the universe expects us to bear fruit that will bring him glory. It's a little bit heavy, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that your son Jesus is a true vine, and that as we remain in him, you'll produce fruit in us that is to your glory. Help us hear your words today. Let's fellowship well with one another and help us bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this brings us back to the fruit we're expected to bear. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When Jesus says he expects us to bear fruit, what's he going on about? What is the purpose of the fruit we are expected to bear? And the purpose of the fruit is to bring God glory. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We'll get to what the fruit looks like, but let's have a look at the purpose of the fruit first. The purpose of the fruit is to glorify God. And we talk about what glorifying God is. We say, glory be to God, you know, hands up in the air when we're singing, and that's a good thing. That does bring glory to God. But I thought, what does it actually mean to glorify God? What is it to bring glory to God? It's kind of an odd word. We don't use it much in other places, unless you're a Man U fan. And glory simply means to do that which brings praise to God, to do God's will. And many of you do things that bring praise, that will bring praise to God. You are people who will stop and talk to a homeless person and sit with them. I know people at church that do that. You are people that when a friend calls you for help with moving house, you'll do that. You are people who will have your non-Christian friends over for dinner and they'll sit there with your family and see how you interact. They'll see that you're not perfect, but you're looking... Well, maybe you are perfect. I haven't been to dinner at everyone's house. But they'll see that you're looking to glorify God with your family. And that will be such a testimony to them. When Chantal and Gary, they had their friends and family for their dedication last week. That is a powerful testimony to God. That is something that will bring God glory. So seeing God's will done brings him glory. And the Bible talks more about what it looks like to do God's will. It talks about rescuing people from poverty. Ruth talked about gender inequality, making sure that we strive to be equal in our relationships. That will bring God glory. Jesus talks about in Luke 9 what it looks like to do his Father's will, to preach the gospel, to take God's good news about his Son, Jesus, to our friends, our family, our work colleagues, and further afield. That brings God glory. To drive out demons, to heal the sick, that brings God glory. That is a fruit that Jesus wants us to bear. And so Jesus is making it clear that the type of fruit we bear should be derived from God's will. Jesus is saying, he is a vine and we are the branches. The fruit that we bear comes from that. He doesn't say, go and produce your own fruit. He doesn't say, oh, you know, kind of, you think you're doing good. That's, you keep doing that. He says, remain in me and bear that fruit. A vine branch can't decide that it wants to produce an apple, can it? Grapes are just so boring. They're so yesterday. I just want some nice apples. I'm going to produce apples. It doesn't work that way, does it? A vine branch can only produce grapes. Different types of grapes, yes, but only grapes. And so Jesus is saying, remain in me and produce the fruit that is God's will. And it's actually astonishing the promise that Jesus makes us about his fruit, doesn't he? He makes it twice in this passage. In verse 7 and verse 16. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's an astonishing promise, isn't it? And we don't want to whitewash it, we don't want to qualify it, but let's think about what it means. As a child, I used to read passages like that and think, man, why don't I get a bike when I ask for it? Where's my bike? Come on, God. You say ask and you get it. If you start praying right now for an Audi R8, that's a fancy car. Start praying right now for an Audi R8. If you expect to find one in the parking lot, you're probably going to be disappointed. Maybe you've seen a Thermomix and you're like, that's a fancy German gadget I would like. It's not going to be in your kitchen when you get home. I'm very sorry. What does it mean then? Doesn't it just mean what it says it means? Ask whatever you will wish and you'll get what you receive? Is that what Jesus is saying? Is he saying, I am your magical Santa Claus who will give you your heart's desire? No. Jesus is saying, ask for what you wish as it accords with the Father's will and produces fruit which brings glory to him. Context of the passage, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We produce the grapes that the vine creates in us. So the fruit is produced by remaining in Jesus and knowing the will of his Father God. It's an incredible promise, isn't it? And the thing is, I talked about it being a heavy expectation. Jesus says that we produce the fruit by remaining in him. He chose us. I find this an incredibly encouraging thing. One of the things I love about being a follower of Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, I think this is one of the amazing things. He doesn't just say, hey, you're broken, let me fix you, which is part of it. But he calls us into a place where he works for us to produce fruit. In a sense, we become partners with God's mission. That's an incredibly powerful thing. We're not just, in a sense, God's like, oh, I've saved you, just stay over there now. He's like, I've saved you, let me work through. That's an incredible promise. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. Jesus chose us to bear fruit. That's an incredibly encouraging thing. Be encouraged by the fact God wants to do good work in you. And like I said, I see God's good work in many of you. I see the fruit that you guys are producing, and that's encouraging. God chose you to do that. It's an amazing promise. And when Jesus says you produce this fruit by remaining in me, what does he actually mean? That's what I want to kind of look at for the rest of this morning. What does it mean when Jesus says remain in me? Is it a bit all mystical? You know, remain in me, you know, it's nice. What does that mean? That's so good. I think it means three things. The first thing it means is that you need to be obeying God and seeking his forgiveness when we fail to do that. Jesus kind of works that out a little bit in verses 9 through 13. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is powerful. Jesus always did his Father's will. He always obeyed him. And we will seek to do that. And there will be times when we struggle and we fail. And at those times, we actually need to make sure that we keep short accounts with God. We need to make sure that we come before God and we ask his forgiveness. Because the Bible makes it clear that when we are morally and spiritually astray, we will really struggle to obey God. And I think we understand this. And I always use this example with my growth group, and I think they probably think I have a real problem with this because I keep going back to it, but I don't. It's just an example. Imagine if I was to spend my off nights gambling. I go down to my local in Clifton Hill. I just feed my income into the pokies because I decide that's where my security lies. I'm going to have a big win and I'm going to do well. Not good at math, so I might actually end up thinking that. Pray for me. And then on Friday night, I come to youth group and I'm telling them that they need to find their security in Jesus. Can you see that, how I would start to feel a cognitive dissonance? I would start to feel this tension in my life. And I think that if I was to be doing that, if I was not seeking to keep short accounts in all areas of my life, I'd start slipping up in all those things. I think it would struggle. There would be a struggle for me to bear fruit because I would not be able to hear God, because I wouldn't be obeying him. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Make sure to keep obeying him. We will struggle to do this, but we need to make sure that we work at it. And we do that as a community. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But this is actually a positive, that repentance. Let's go back to the beginning of the passage, verse 2. Remember, God is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. Every branch that does bear fruit, he will prune, so it's even more fruitful. Pruning is the cutting away so that new things will grow. And I understand this. I get that if you prune roses, they'll grow back better. I get that if you prune a vine, the grapes go back better. But I didn't understand why. If I cut off my finger, and children, don't try this at home, it won't grow back, will it? I think we know this. A kitchen accident doesn't mean you get a brand new finger. So why does it work with flowers? What happens, I have a florist as a housemate, so I asked them, and she said, when you cut away the old and the dead, it allows the new to flourish. And that's a painful process, isn't it? If you have sin in your life and God is dealing with it, that can be a painful thing to do. To confess that you have an issue and you need God to deal with it, to expose yourself to God the Father, that is painful. But he does it so that you can bear even more fruit. Look at it. It's a positive thing that God wants to deal with the sin in your life. He wants to do it so you'll produce even more fruit. So this is the first thing we need to do if we were to remain in Jesus. We need to deal with sin in our life and let God strip it away from us so we can bear more fruit. The second way we remain in Jesus is by spending time with him. I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think about spending time with Jesus, I think of prayer. I think of making sure that you're spending time in God's presence every day. I know this can be a hard thing. Tim, I can't get up at 4 o'clock and spend 3 hours in prayer. Is that what you want me to do? You know, that's the only space I have in my day. Make sure I get, hey, friends, let's be people who are prayerful throughout the day. If you can spend 3 hours in prayer from 4 o'clock in the morning, brilliant. I think a lot of us will struggle to do that. I don't want to stop you doing that. If you do that, you know, by all means, keep doing that. But what I want to encourage you is that spend time daily with God. When you're going about your daily routine, when you wake up in the morning, you've got to take the kids to school. Be aware of God's presence. Be praying for them as you make their breakfast. When you're coming back from work and you're sitting on the bus, maybe take time to pray for the people on the bus. Rod always reminds us, two questions to ask our Lord, what are you doing and how can I be part of that today? Be asking that. Be aware of the Spirit's work in your life throughout the day. I try and develop this habit. I try and spend time praying when I'm on my motorbike. Sometimes I'm praying more than others on my motorbike, particularly on the Eastern Freeway when it's raining. That's always a bit of an exciting journey. But it's tight and thing and pray for things that come to me as I'm riding my bike. I try not to do it with my eyes shut. If you're praying in your car, also a good idea to keep your eyes open. But throughout the day, I like to think of it as Jesus refers to us as his friends in this passage. You're texting your friend. You're letting them know what's going on. When you're struggling with something in the day, plead with God for help. When you see something beautiful, praise God for it. It's a good habit to develop. One thing I try and do, we heard an ambulance earlier. When I hear ambulance or police officers, police cars go past, I try and pray for the people they're going to help and for the people involved. Just because a good doing something like that is it helps develop your habit in other areas to be prayerful. So that's the first thing that comes to mind is spending time with God. And the other one, of course, as you seek to hear God in prayer, don't forget to seek God in his living and active word. This is where we learn about God the gracious, God the compassionate, God the just. Jesus who leads us to his Father and the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus. Last week, Randall shared chapter 14, tells us about the advocate for us, the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent us. This is where we learn about God. Spend time with God in his living and active word. My challenge for you is Lent has come. It started. Often a practice in Lent is to give something up, but traditionally you would take something up as well. So if you're someone who struggles with spending time in God's word daily, and I think we all do, we're all busy in this world of ours, let me encourage you to start the habit by committing to reading one verse for the rest of Lent. That's less than a month. It finishes on April 4th. One verse a day. You might end up reading more than that, but make that the barrier you have to cross. I'm going to read one verse of the Bible every day. I encourage 8 o'clock to look at 1 John, because that's a beautiful book about God's love and his justice and his holiness. I think you'll find it encouraging if you even read one verse a day from 1 John. So the first thing to do to remain in Jesus, obey God. Make sure your accounts are short. The second thing to remain in Jesus is to spend time with him in prayer and in hearing from God's living and active word, the Bible. And the third thing to remain in Jesus is to spend time with other Christians. We talked about what God's good work is, and often that's reaching out to non-Christians. But today I kind of really wanted to focus on that. How do we remain in Jesus so that God's work can happen in us? Spend time with other followers. Remember the church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus calls us that. Paul calls us that. We are Jesus' actual body, right here, called by him to do good works together. So when Jesus says, remain in me, remain in us, fellowship with other Christians. I love it when I hear about families having other families over for lunch, building friendships. And if you include non-Christian families in that mix, that's a beautiful thing. They see you fellowshipping and they want part of that. It's having coffee with each other. It's coming to prayer nights. It's thinking of where, in your workspaces, are there Christians that you can go out for lunch with and encourage one another? How do I be a Christian in my finance place? How do I be a Christian in my public school? How to be a Christian in the company that I work for? Find those Christians in your workplace. Might be few and far between, but pray that God would reveal them to you so you can remain in each other and encourage one another as you seek to serve the Lord. Another way, I think a great way to remain, and I know it's a time commitment. I know all this. Is growth groups. Growth group is a weekly time commitment for me, but I love it. It's one of the favorite things in my week because I get to meet up with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We get to dive into God's word. We get to spend time in prayer. We get to encourage one another. We get to see the fruit that God is producing in us. We share what God is doing in our lives, and we're encouraged by that. We get to pray for one another when we're really struggling with sin. We get to pray with one another when we're like, sometimes hard stuff happens in our lives, and in our growth groups, we can encourage each other. Randall is a growth group coordinator. He would love it if you came up to him and said, I just want to be in a growth group. Can you sort that out for me? And he'll get right on that. He might even think about it on Labor Day. I don't know. I'm not going to make promises for him. So this is how we remain in Christ. We keep short accounts. We obey God. We spend time with Jesus, and we spend time with one another. And we remain in Jesus because when we do that, God's fruit will be produced in us to the glory of God. God's will be done in this world. I refer to this being a heavy passage. But if you think about it, the expectation of fruit is not heavy because Jesus is saying, remain in me. That's how it happens. You're not having to go and sit there and work on your own. God's Holy Spirit resides in you so that you can remain in Jesus and produce good fruit. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you called us to yourself. We thank you that you want to partner with us and you want to see your glory displayed in our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, to remain in you by the power of your Spirit. Help us to keep short accounts, God. Help us to spend time with you in prayer and in reading your word. And help us to remain with one another and encourage each other, build each other up, rebuke each other, challenge each other as we seek to see your will done in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.